You're listening to SBS News.
In 2005, the year began with tragedy.
Nations around Southeast Asia and the Indian Ocean are still coming to grips with the enormous scale of yesterday's disastrous earthquake and tsunamis,
setting a somber tone for the start of the year. The pages of 200 previously sealed cabinet documents reveal the Prime Minister, John Howard, offered a show of support from Australia that included a $1 billion frontline boost, doubling Australia's aid to Indonesia.
We will stay as long as we are needed.
Back home, there were alerts of a bird flu pandemic and evidence of a World Health Organization warning that it is more likely that a pandemic could occur. The papers also reveal that warning prompted pressure for preparedness. Then Health Minister Tony Abbott's advice was ominous, highlighting the importance of contact tracing, quarantine facilities and surveillance 15 years before COVID-19. Stocking up on antiviral medication was part of a seek and contain strategy, eventually accepted by the Cabinet. But the Cabinet submission noted a virus might not be contained before a vaccine is available. Then Attorney General Philip Ruddock recalls his focus was on more immediate risks to the community.
For Australia at that time, we'd seen the tsunami in Indonesia. We saw London bombings. We saw people killed in Bali. When you think about the nature of the environment in which we were operating, there were very significant issues that had to be managed.
As the Liberal government took control of both houses for the first time in two decades, it drafted what it called work choices legislation, aimed at simplifying agreements with employers. There was a major union uproar.
This is what you can do with it! Burn it!
Over what it saw as weakening collective bargaining, a backlash that eventually contributed to John Howard's defeat in 2007. Historian and associate professor at UNSW, David Lee, says the pushback was not anticipated in the Cabinet submissions.
The Cabinet didn't realise or didn't appreciate the backlash that this was going to produce, and really led to a resurgence of the trade union movement.
By the middle of the year, Tom Cruise was jumping up on Oprah's couch to declare his infatuation with Katie Holmes.
I'm in love.
While others were in mourning over the death of Pope John Paul II. In Bali, there was a media frenzy as Australian Chappelle Corby was convicted of smuggling cannabis in a boogie board bag. The 20-year high-profile sentence once again straining ties with Indonesia. But Canberra's main international focus was on Afghanistan and sending a special forces task group there for 12 months. That ended up lasting years. The Cabinet's record reveals submissions from Defence Minister Robert Hill and Foreign Affairs Minister Alexander Downer were cautioning against it.
We recommend against committing special forces to Afghanistan in a dedicated combat role. Working in a combat role does not meet reconstruction as well as security objectives.
The papers also foreshadowed the evolution of ADF personnel duties on the ground. 20 years later, then-Attorney General Philip Ruddock stands by the decision.
It's important that we're seen to be responsibly paying our part. And you do so with allies.
But with Afghanistan, given the resurgence of the Taliban later, was it the wrong call?
Look, I have seen what the Taliban have done, and there is no way that I think we should be turning a blind eye to some of the very significant human rights abuses that occur in a situation like that. And part of our part was assisting, if I remember rightly, one of our allies, Japan, in keeping troops in place and protecting them.
The papers also show human rights were not the focus of a deal extension with Nauru, allowing the controversial Pacific Solution, first introduced by Howard in 2001, to continue diverting and processing asylum seekers offshore.
You need to be able to ensure that you manage the gate. And Nauru and Manus Island were part and parcel of the process of ensuring that those who had their eye on reaching Australia didn't do so.
Associate Professor David Lee explains the deterrence measure.
I suppose that there is some sense of human rights considerations there, but I suppose the overriding consideration was that this policy was conceived as a deterrent for people coming by boat, and there was a degree of stringency about that policy, which was deliberate.
The year's end in Cronulla exposed the fragility of Australia's multiculturalism, with John Howard laying it out.
Attacking people on the basis of their race, their appearance, their ethnicity is totally unacceptable.
Eva Stashevska, SBS.